It had been a little over a year since the Lord walked out of the grave. He was in the grave, listen, for 72 hours, 3 days and three nights. And then up from the grave, he did arise with a mighty triumph over his foes. He rose the victor from the dark domain, and now he lives with his saints to reign. Now, we know this historically, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It was reported by eyewitnesses. His 12 apostles, they were chosen by him to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. They heard him speak after he rose from the dead. They actually touched and handled him. They even ate with him. He spent 40 days, that's over a month, with them after he rose from the dead. We know that not only from his 12 apostles, but we know it from Mary of Magdala, a lady that he had cast devils out of and changed her life. And she was the first one that saw him. And that first Sunday morning, she saw him, and she was told she couldn't touch him at that point in time because he had to go with his blood, we believe, into heaven to present it on the mercy seat for our sins. And so Mary reported that he rose from the dead. We know Thomas was not there, one of the apostles. He was absent. But a week later, he was told by the Lord, who showed up in the upper room, "You reach in and touch the print of the nails in my hands. You touch and put your hand into the spear hole in my side and stop being faithless and start believing." And Thomas did it, and he fell down. He said, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus said, "Better are they that have not seen and yet believed." But these people were the eyewitnesses. Now, there was one apostle left. He wasn't an apostle yet. He was a devil's child. He was against the Lord. I was out with a guy the other day, and he said that he went to this church, and he was an atheist, and he heard the word of God, and he changed from being an atheist to a believer. And Jesus, you know, this guy was not an atheist. He was very religious. He was Jewish. He believed in the Old Testament, and he believed that the resurrection of Jesus was a lie, and he was out to stamp out Jewish people who believe that Jesus was the Savior who rose from the dead. He wanted to get rid of them, and he wanted to stamp them out. And so he was hell-bent on arresting anybody who claimed that Jesus is the Messiah who rose from the dead. And he had authority from the authorities, the religious authorities in Jerusalem. And he was arresting people and throwing them in jail. And he even was there to help Stephen, a deacon in the church who was witnessing for Jesus Christ and debating him. He had him stoned and held the garments of those that threw the rocks. And now he was headed right up to Damascus, Syria, to get more people that believed in the risen Jesus and get them arrested. And that's where we take it up. A little more than a year after the resurrection, he was on his way to persecute Christians. But instead of stamping out the spread of the faith of the risen Lord Jesus, Saul found himself coming face to face with the resurrected Messiah. And as he was going up north to Damascus, Syria, there was a light from the sky, and it shined on him. And that was the light of the glory coming off the resurrected Lord Jesus. And then he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I'm saying to you that the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he spent over 30 days, he spent over a month with his other 11 apostles, but this time he confronted his greatest enemy of that day, and he had a plan for his life. And you may not be a friend of Jesus. You may not be a friend of the church and of the things of God, but God can have a plan for your life. And he can confront you, because let me tell you, Jesus Christ is not in the grave. He's not hanging on the cross. Jesus Christ conquered death. Right. He's alive. And he is working, and here we see it in Acts chapter 9. He confronted the Apostle Paul, and Dr. Luke reports exactly what happened in this confrontation between the Lord and Saul. I wondered, if you saw the Lord, would you fall on your face? Yeah, you would. You'd fall on your face if you saw Jesus. If Jesus showed up, you'd fall right in your face. That's what he did. He fell on his face. Everybody in the Bible that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, man, they fell on their face. And Saul did that. But I wonder, if you saw Christ, what would you ask him? If you saw Jesus, he showed up this morning, what would you ask him? What would be the question? He had two questions. And I want to preach on how the risen Christ may answer your questions. And I want to say three things about how Jesus, the risen Christ, may answer your questions. And number one, by his speaking to you as God's prophet. Notice verse 5 of Acts 9. I'll read it. Here's the first question. Saul said, as he's on his face and the light was shining, he said, "Who art thou? Who are you?" He wanted to know who he was. He had been persecuting Jesus, but who is this bright, shining light and this voice that spoke to him? And the Bible shows you that the Lord's accusations caused Saul, the self-righteous persecutor of the disciples of Jesus, in Acts 9:6, it says that he trembled and was astonished. He was trembling and he was astonished. That's not Saul knowing Jesus as his personal Savior. Some of you, many of you may know Jesus as your personal Savior, but some of you do not. He did not know Jesus as his personal Savior. And you say, well, how was he then being counseled? How was the Lord speaking to him? He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And you know who Jesus is? Jesus is, first of all, a prophet from God to give you the words of God. And what does a prophet do? It shows you where you're guilty, where you've sinned against God, where you're not right with God, and where you're, unfortunately, on your way to hell. You know, Jesus has three offices. One, he's a prophet. Two, he's a priest. And three, he's a king. In ancient Israel, in the Old Testament, a prophet was anointed by God to speak the words of God and to convict the people that they're not right with God. Do you know what? We need some prophets in America today. People that will show us that we're not right with God. Even though you may be proud to be an American and be patriotic, that's great. But America has turned away from God, and individuals have turned away from God. And we don't love God. We love sin and we love the world. And a prophet will tell you the truth about yourself. And so, you know, the Bible says prophets like Elijah, they told the truth. Jesus was the greatest prophet. And he will tell you, listen, he'll tell you the truth about yourself and about your sin. But secondly, the Bible says that there were priests in the Old Testament. And Jesus was the final high priest. And what did a priest do? When you saw you were condemned by the prophet, condemned by the God of the prophet, condemned for your sin, on your way to hell, the priest, listen to me, had the sacrifice and killed an innocent animal to take care of that sin in the Old Testament. Killed a little lamb and slit its throat, let the blood bleed out. An innocent lamb who did nothing. And when you sinned, the priest would let you bring that lamb and he would cut its throat and offer the blood for the sin that had been committed. Now, we know the animal blood didn't take away sin, did it? It just covered it temporarily. There had to be somebody that was an innocent person, a lamb of a person that never sinned, that could be a priest and offer that sacrifice of innocent blood for our sins so that we could be saved. Jesus was a priest, but he also is the king. The Bible says that there was the king, and he ruled over the people, and the people had to listen to the law of the king. And Jesus is a king, and he rules over and reigns over our lives. But the Lord replied to Saul's question. Saul said, "Lord, you know, who are you? Who are you?" And here's what the Lord said to him in Acts chapter 9. He said, "It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You say, "What are you talking about?" These pricks were long sticks, 8 feet to 10 feet long, made of oak or some other hard wood. At the point, at the end of the wood, it had a big metal sharp needle at the end of it. And when an ox was pulling a cart, maybe the ox didn't move when the master said, "Move." And so he would take that 8 foot to 10 foot hard wood oak, and with a needle in the front, and boom, put it right in the ox to stab him, to make him move. And sometime that big ox would actually kick against that. And when he did, that thing would go in him harder. It would hurt him more. And he would do it again. And he would kick against it. And you know what? That's the way a lot of people are. The Lord will jab you and try to convict you from a prophet that you're doing wrong and you're in the wrong way, and try to turn you. Instead of turning away from the pride the Lord's given you, that ox would turn right into it. And the Lord was saying, "Saul, Saul, you're like that ox. You're like a beast. You're not listening to me." And how was he pricking him? How was he getting him in his conscience? Well, the Bible would tell us that he was convicted by the witness of the other apostles. They had said that Christ rose from the dead. He didn't believe it. He said it's a lie. He went against it. And then he was convicted by his own teacher. He had a teacher named Gamaliel. And the teacher said, "Don't persecute these Christians. They are possibly a movement of God." But he didn't care. He said he's stronger. There's a guy named Tavia Singer. How many have heard of Singer, Tavia Singer? He's a modern-day Saul of Tarsus. He's a Jewish debater that fights against Jesus and fights against the Lord. And you need to pray for this guy. He needs to have his eyes open, because Saul was like that, and he was a very effective debater. But he met the apostles, and Gamaliel told him, "Stop fighting." Then Deacon Stephen debated him, and Saul, for the first time in a debate, got beat. That's what Tavia Singer needs, somebody that would shut his mouth with the word of God and just amaze him. And this guy got beat in a debate by Stephen, and yet still, what did he do? He had him killed. He died, just like Charlie Kirk got shot in the shot, and he died for his faith and his wit. Stephen died, and Paul was being prodded. Listen up here. Look up here. He was being prodded by the Lord, saying, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And then after that, he had the people that were getting saved, and he was arresting them, and they wouldn't give up their faith. They were being taken away from their family and their houses, and yet they said, "No, we're not going to deny Jesus." Listen to me. If Jesus weren't risen from the dead, that wouldn't happen. And even his great enemy, Saul, he persecuted him. And he's about ready to get saved, because he's meeting the prophet of prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is what a prophet does. He shows you your sin, and he shows you that you're on your way to hell. That's what happened to me when I was 17. Listen to me, I met Jesus as a prophet. I was looking in the Bible, hoping I would go to heaven, hoping I was all right. I knew I'd done sins, but I thought maybe the Lord will let me into heaven. Maybe I'll be all right. And I was reading the Bible in Muskegon, Michigan. I was at my grandma's house. I was reading my great-grandmother's Bible, the King James Scofield Bible. And I was looking in the words of Jesus. I said, Jesus, maybe he'll make me feel good. He's loving. He's kind. And when I read in there, I was convicted. If you ever hated anybody in your heart, you're a murderer. If you ever looked upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery. He said, if you get angry and you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of going to hell. And for the first time in my life, I realized, wow, the Lord is a prophet, and he's showing me I'm a sinner and I'm condemned to hell. You're here on this Easter Sunday, and you need to see Jesus as a prophet. You need to hear the words of Jesus, because I'm telling you, I've not been to hell, but the Bible talks about hell, and there's a man that was in hell. He couldn't even get a little drop of water. You won't even get a drop of water. You say, are most people going to hell? Yes. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. I thought I was going to heaven. I was a Christian guy, went to church and so forth and so on. But Jesus showed me, no, you're going to split hell wide open. And so will you this morning. I'm going to tell you the truth. But more importantly, Jesus is a prophet. And that's why Saul trembled, because he knew that he was not saved. And he knew, even though he was a goody religious man, and he thought he was standing for God, just like this Tovia singer, he thinks he's for Yeshem, the God of the Bible. No, the Bible says, if you're not for Jesus, you're not for God. If you don't love Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, not as a judge, not as somebody that's going to send you in hell, that's a prophet telling, no, you got to know him as your Savior, or you will go to hell. He says, listen to his words this morning. The risen Christ says this, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. See, you may know about Jesus. You know, Islam, they say Jesus is a prophet. Did you know that? But that's not going to save you. Right. Knowing Jesus is a prophet didn't save Saul. That'll show you you're going to hell. And someday people that have believed in Allah and people that have believed in Muhammad, the false prophet, they're going to split hell wide open. Right. Being a Jehovah's false witness won't save you, because Jehovah's false witness says Jesus isn't God. I'm here to tell you, the resurrection says he's God. Only God in the flesh could do that. Amen. He's God. He's not just a prophet. And so the question of Saul, the first question, who are you? I am a prophet of God. In fact, I am the prophet of God. And I am telling you, Saul, you are wrong. Your life is wrong. And this morning, you need to realize your life is wrong. And you are a sinner. And you will have to pay for your sin in a place called hell someday. And that's what Jesus will show you as a prophet. That's why the woman at the well, when she met Jesus at the well, Jesus talked to this woman and he said, you have had five husbands, and the man you're now shacking up with or living with, that man is not your husband. By the way, if you're having sex outside of marriage, that is fornication. That is sin. It'll send you right to hell. It's sending America right to hell. People right up in front of God and everybody. They living with somebody. Oh, that's my boyfriend or that's my girlfriend. And I'm just doing that. Listen, you have no right to do what is only for holy marriage. And you're a whoremonger and adulterer if you don't do that. And you see, Jesus is a prophet. He tells you the truth. And this woman, when he said that to her, the man you're living with, ma'am, is not even your husband. He knew it. And she said this to Jesus. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. John 4:19. Did that save her? No. Just because you're convicted by Jesus of your sin doesn't mean you're saved. Doesn't mean Saul was saved at this point. I wasn't saved when I met Jesus as a prophet, but I knew for the first time, wow, I'm going to hell, and I need to be saved. I prayed to God, God, I need to be saved, but I just knew him as a prophet, and I was condemned by it. Would to God that some of you this morning would realize Jesus has been following you around. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows everything you've been saying. He knows everything you've been doing. And you're building up. You're building up anger. Hey, you notice the war in Iran over there? The president keeps offering peace and saying, you can talk. I'll give you peace. Just give this up. Give that up. Give your bombs up. And you know what they keep saying? No, they just keep doubling down. Do you know there's coming a day when all wrath's going to fall down? Right. It's coming very close. You'll see it. And that's just from the President of the United States and from the world superpower. Can you imagine when God's wrath comes down on you? It's just building up every day. Maybe you come to church and you're hanging around doing things you ought not to do. You distract from the services. You're messing around, goofing around. God sees everything you're doing. And the people are loving to you, and they're offering you to be saved, and you just keep messing around, keep playing around, and you think there's no tomorrow, there's no judgment, there's no wrath of God. But I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. And so you have to understand, who are you? Jesus is the prophet of God that will show you when you're wrong. Hey, Joseph down in Egypt, his brothers were loved by Joseph. But when they showed up in Egypt to get bread, he treated them roughly, the Bible says. He arrested Simeon, and he said, bring your younger brother, and he gave them trouble. And they started thinking about their sin and what they did to Joseph, and he made them see their guilt. He didn't show himself to them as their brother. Jesus doesn't show himself to you as your friend, as your Savior, until he shows you that he's the prophet of God that knows your sin, and that your sin will find you out. And that's what happened. That's why Amazing Grace says, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. You see, have you ever been taught to fear God? See, that's the problem with a lot of people in America today. They think everything is just fine. There's no judgment of God, and that is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. You know, when he came the first time, he had his own blood all over him because they spilled his blood. But do you know when he comes the second time, there's going to be blood all over? You know, the rescue of that second airman. How many heard about that airman, that American being rescued? Raise your hand if you heard about that. Yeah, he got rescued over there. You know, people came, tried to get an reward from the Iranian government, the wicked Iranian government, to kill that U.S. airman, or to arrest him and to make a mockery of him. And they were all going out there to get him, not knowing that they're facing Marines that are trained. Not knowing they're facing A-10 warthogs who can fly, and their bodies were just piled up like cordwood all over there. And they took that American and rescued him out of there. You see, they didn't know who they were fighting. That's your problem this morning. Listen to me. You don't know who you're fighting. Saul, he didn't know who he was fighting. He thought, oh, the high priest is with me. I got the true religion. Listen, you can have the biggest religion in the world. I guess it would be the Roman Catholic Church. And everyone will go to hell unless they believe in Jesus as their Savior. You see, it's not how big you are. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I'm saying this morning, would to God that you would say, Lord, who are you? And the risen Christ would be the prophet of God that says, you're not right with God. You are going to face the judgment, and you are not going to be able to stand in the judgment. And so Saul got right down his face like that. This big man, this proud man, right down his face. Listen, You say, oh, I wouldn't get down on my face. I'm too good for that. Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're either going to bow then or you're going to bow now. I'd rather bow now to Jesus. How the risen Christ may answer your question about who you are, who he is, he's a prophet. Number two, he'll answer that question by speaking to you as God's priest. Look at Acts 9, verse 6. I'll read it. He says, and he, speaking of Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now he's trembling. Now he realizes, I'm condemned. He's standing on his feet, and the light is just shining in his eyes. Can you imagine that? The light's just shining in his eyes, and he's like, boss, you know, what do you want me to do? And the Lord told him, I've got a guy that's going to tell you some good words, but you got to go into the city, and this guy's going to give you the words that will save you, in other words. He was condemned, but the Lord said, if you go into the city, it was the city of Damascus, somebody's going to tell you how you can get saved. Do you know that's what I'm here for today and what believers are here to do? They're appointed by God to tell you how you can get rid of your sin, how you can still go to heaven even though you've messed up your life. Thank God that he's not just a prophet, but he is a priest, and a priest is appointed by God, listen to me, and anointed by God to get rid of your sin so that you can have a relationship with God. So if you are full of sin, young lady, you can be Snow White and have your sins washed away. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so the Jews in Jerusalem, when they saw the message of Jesus and that he was alive and that they did kill him and they realized they were guilty of murder, the Bible says when Peter preached, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter, what shall we do? Is that a question? That's the second question of Saul. After he said, who are you? The second question was, what shall I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? You know what? That's what you should be asking. You should be asking this morning, many of you, Lord, what must I do to be saved? That's what happened to me in Muskegon, Michigan. When I saw I was a sinner on my way to hell, I cried out to God. I said, God, I was 17 years old. I said, God, what do I need to do to be saved? And you know, that's what the Philippian jailer said when there was an earthquake. And instead of rushing out of the prison, everybody rushed to Paul and Silas's cell. And everybody was there. And he came there trembling, just like Saul of Tarsus was. He came trembling. He said, what must I do to be saved? If you're not asking that question, if that's not the most important thing in your life, I feel very sorry for you. And I wouldn't want to be in your sneakers on this Easter Sunday. Because, you see, the Bible is very clear that you need to be saved. And Jesus speaks to you and shows you that, but he also wants you to get the message that he is a priest. Jesus is the great high priest. He fulfilled what the Old Testament priests tried to do and kept offering sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, but those sacrifices were animal and they could not take away sin. Jesus is the priest, and he offered his own innocent blood. He offered himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He did it once and for all. That's why a Catholic priest claims every time you go to Mass to offer the blood of Jesus, to offer the body of Jesus when you eat the wafer and you drink the quote-unquote alcoholic wine, which is the wrong way to do it. Listen, you can't keep offering Jesus over and over again. He didn't have to die over and over again like a dog. He died once. like a lamb. And that lamb will take away your sin once and for all, so that you will not be guilty before God. Even though you sin, you'll be forgiven. You'll be on your way to heaven. But you have to hear Jesus as your great high priest, and you have to accept him as your great high priest. He was appointed and anointed by God to do that. I think of our deacon Bob Majeski. He had a sports injury. He started taking some medications to deal with that. He got into trouble. He was in a coma. He lost his business, a lot of stuff that he had in his life. And while he was in that coma, listen to me, the Lord dealt with him. The Lord himself. Jesus is alive. He's here today. And he's dealing with hearts today. You can mark it down. And he was dealing with Bob, and he showed him that he was headed to hell, but he came, and he appeared to him. And when Bob came out of that coma, they were writing his death certificate. He was a young man, but when he came out of that coma, there was a pastor there with the Bible, and the pastor told him about Jesus dying on the cross. John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bob believed, and he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he came to this church and came to me to ask what happened. And I told him about what I believe happened from the Bible. And he pulled out the Bible and pulled out John 3. And he said, that's what the pastor told him. That's exactly what Jesus told Saul. He said, all right, what are you going to do? Go to the city. There'll be a man that will tell you how you can be saved. When Bob came out of that coma, a man told him. My great-grandmother, I read her Bible. I got saved through her Bible. When she was a young lady, she went into a coma. She was going to die, and she was told, no, you're going to go back. She went back into her body. They told her how to get saved. She put her faith in Jesus and accepted him as her priest, as her savior. You don't need to go to a Roman priest. You don't need to go to some other priest. You need to go to Jesus. He's the great high priest. He's inviting you to take your sin that's burdening you down and that's ruining your life and come to Jesus with it this morning and put your trust in him, and he will be your priest. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Listen, faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the word of God. God says in 1 Corinthians that God saves people, listen, through the foolishness of preaching. You hear the word of God, and then you get saved. And this man, Ananias, he told Saul who Jesus was. Remember, Saul, who is Jesus? He's a prophet. But he told him, yeah, but he's also your priest. He died on that cross. He wants to save you. And I'm saying to you this morning, I don't know if you're a teenager, I don't know if you're a young person or adult, but Jesus wants you to get saved. By the way, I want you to get saved. Jesus loved the world. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to... I was already condemned. He just showed me the truth about myself. That's what a prophet did. He showed me the truth that I was already condemned. But then I said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Are you saying that? And I said that. And you know what the Lord showed me? You just put your faith in Jesus. He already paid for the sins of the world. In full. It's finished, he said. You don't have to go to a priest and get more mass done. No, it's done once for all the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And what happened when Ananias told this to Saul? I believe he got saved right then and there in Damascus. And here's what it says. And immediately, listen to me, he'd been blind. He couldn't see for 3 days and three nights. He was blind. And what did that show you? That showed you that he had dead religion. He was self-righteous. He couldn't see Jesus, and he needed to see him by faith. And it says that he was blind, but then when he believed the gospel, he says immediately there fell from his eyes, as it has been, scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I remember Wilda Rodriguez when I was talking to her over the phone, and she had been in a Pentecostal Spanish church and had all the rules, and she was a good girl and did things right, and she was hoping to get to heaven. But when she heard the message of the Word of God, she realized, even though I'm a good girl, I've been in a Pentecostal church, a Spanish church, I kept the rules and all that, but I'm still a sinner, and I'm going to have to go to hell to pay for my sin. And I was telling her about Jesus, and she said the scale just was ripped from my eyes, the veil, and I could see Jesus Christ is a person. He's alive. He's speaking through a message this morning to you. He's knocking at the door of your heart and saying, do you know who I am? Yes, I'm the prophet, but I'm also the priest, and I offered my body and my blood, and if you will put your faith in me to be your savior, I will be your savior, and I will be your great high priest. I'm saying this morning how the risen Christ may answer your questions about who he is and what you should do. You should get it answered by him speaking to you as a prophet, and then speaking to you as the priest of God. And then the second question Saul said was, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, first you've got to admit your sin as a prophet. Then you've got to go to the priest and believe that his sacrifice is sufficient to pay for your sins and put your faith in that sacrifice. And then you've got to realize that the second question is answered, what will thou have me to do, by his speaking to you as God's king. Before Ananias spoke to Saul about being the priest to take care of his sin, he said to him these words, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You say, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I want to put my faith in Jesus, and that's great. But if you do that this morning, you won't go to hell. You'll be saved. But listen to me. Now Jesus will be your king. Jesus will be your king, and that means, what wilt thou have me to do? That means you need to do what Jesus says, because he is your king. He's the great king who was crowned with thorns and bled for you, but now he's crowned in heaven. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's coming again to rule the world. But in the meantime, he wants you to serve him, if you're saved by him, as your king. And what's the first thing it says that Saul did when he met him as king, as priest, and as prophet? It says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Now listen, and he received sight therewith. The first thing you need to do, receive your sight by looking to Jesus to be your savior. And then it says, and he arose after he got saved and was baptized. Listen. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be willing to confess him before men. You should be willing to come and say, Lord, I've accepted you. Dunk me under the water. I've accepted you, and I want to identify with your death, your burial, your resurrection. And he did that immediately. He didn't wait. He did it immediately. If you come to Jesus, he wants you to come and receive your sight, and then get baptized and profess that you're a believer. When they did that, the Jews did that, you know what they did? The Jewish people would hold a funeral for their kids. They did not like it that they followed Jesus as their king. And yet the Bible says that that's what he calls upon you to do. The risen Christ calls upon you to follow him. And then he said, listen, he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Eric Rodriguez and I were out soul winning Thursday night. And we went up to North Scranton here, up into Bangor, and it was cold Thursday night. It was freezing cold. But you know what? I dropped Eric off, and he's out there telling a lady and her son about Jesus. And he was out there for a long time just telling her. He forgot about the cold because God calls us to be witnesses. If you have met Christ, you know, if you go to court and you say, oh, so-and-so told me that this crime happened, the judge is going to say, I can't admit that. That's hearsay. You have to be an eyewitness. You have to have seen it yourself. Hey, guess what? If you met Jesus as your Savior, you know he's alive. I serve a risen Savior this morning. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I personally heard his hand of mercy when I was condemned. I've heard his voice of cheer. And just the time I need Jesus, he's always near. Rabbi Tovia might be smarter than me and know more Torah than me, but he's ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth unless he meets the one that this book is all about. I know him. And because I know him, he says, now, Randy, go out and witness. You out and tell others. And Brother Eric was taking a track, Eric Rodriguez, and giving it to that lady. And he took a track and went through the gospel. And she prayed to receive Christ. I talked to her Saturday again. And she wants to sign up for the coming out to church and so forth and so on. I'm just saying to you, how about you? Is he your king? Let me just say one more thing. If he's your king, he tells you, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You say, what must I do? And Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord says, listen, I want you to tell others about me, but you're going to suffer for it. You're going to suffer because you're not going to act like others. You're not going to dress like others. You're not going to talk exactly like others because you're traveling to the beat of a different drum. Your drummer is the King of Kings. And I think of David. David was the king. David was anointed to be the king. But David wasn't the king. He was persecuted. He was hiding out in a cave. And men came to him who were discontented. They were in debt. Listen to me back there. They were discontented. They were in debt. And they came to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? I mean, what did, not Jesus, but the ancestor of Jesus, David, what did he do? He made them part of his army. Listen, we're not accepted by the world. I'm not accepted by the world. I'm a fool for Jesus. But when David became the king, all those men that were exiles and outcasts, wow, now they're in the royal family. Amen? Now they're in the royal army. Amen? Hey, there's coming a day when those that have not accepted Jesus, they're going to be cast out. But those of you that have, you will be in. And this morning, there are two questions. Number one is, who is Jesus? And number two is, what will he have me to do? You need to have those questions answered this morning by the Bible, by the Lord. And I hope this morning you will respond and do the right thing. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.